Neighbors are left rattled after a deadly explosion caused by illegal fireworks in Aliamanu left 3 people dead and over 25 injured. Warning, this story contains graphic descriptions of injuries.
Angelina Bagaforo was celebrating New Year's Eve in Hawaii like many others. It was about 3 minutes before midnight when she heard continuous explosions across the street.
I initially just thought it's the grand finale, but it got really loud, really fast, and really bright, and I immediately knew there was something wrong.
The explosion left nearby homes with shattered glass, collapsed ceilings, and busted doors. One neighbor, who didn't want to be named, came home to her damaged property in dismay.
Ayapo, what did they do, these people?
HPR spoke with several neighbors, with a majority declining to be interviewed. Some are still trying to process what happened. Others are calling their insurance companies and having their damaged cars towed from the street. Bagaforo is from Guam and has lived in Hawaii for 3 years. During the explosion, the 29-year-old said she rushed to see if people were okay. She helped one man across the street who was laying on his stomach, looking for his 2-month-old child.
So I looked down at his leg and it's just his whole shin was split open.
Bagaforo stayed with him until emergency medical services arrived.
In our fight or flight, the reaction was really, I'm not hurt, I can go help somebody, even if it's walking them down to the triage center.
Bagaforo says she doesn't have much to say about illegal fireworks in Hawaii, but she says New Year's Eve should be celebrated safely.
I like to enjoy them. I'm not necessarily the type of person that likes to fire them off, but I do think that it's a fun event to have in a controlled environment with people who are experienced.
As neighbors are picking up the pieces from that night, Bagaforo says it's nice to have community support.
We've all kind of just talked to each other in passing, and everybody's been very supportive. You know, if you need anything, let us know. We're right across the street.
Cassie Ordonio, HPR News.
The sounds of invasive koki frogs have been heard in Waimanalo since at least 2021. On a recent Thursday night, HPR's Savannah Harriman-Pote went out with a state-led team of volunteers trying to restore the soundscape of the Windward Oahu Forest.
There's a frog right over here.
Ryan Chang is trying to coax a koki frog out from its hiding spot.
I think he got spooked. He's in this octopus tree, though.
That one gets away, but there's plenty more frogs in the forest, unfortunately. Night has just fallen at the base of the ko'olauos in Waimanalo, and the koki frogs are out in full force. This spot is the epicenter of a koki infestation that threatens to spread across the whole of Oahu. Chang grew up in Waimanalo and now works with the State Department of Land and Natural Resources. Every Thursday night for over a year, he's led a team of volunteers into the forest of Waimanalo to beat back the infestation.
You got one already?
Volunteers at Kaya Knowles shows off a brown frog about the size of a quarter in a sports drink bottle. He brandishes a clear plastic tube with one end taped off in his other hand. If you're trying to replicate this frog-catching method at home, you want to place the open end of the tube over the frog and wait for it to jump in, and then quickly cover that end of the tube with your hand so it doesn't jump out.
And then the hardest part is getting it from the tube into the bottle, but this one was super easy. It jumped in the bottle as well.
Knowles is one of several volunteers out here tonight, along with staff from state agencies. Ryan Chang says volunteers have been critical in the effort to contain koki.
The volunteers are the manpower, because all of us are short staff. We just supply the materials and the equipment and the training and all that, and these people are hammers.
And Chang says their efforts are making a difference. When he came out here a year ago, he says the calls of koki frauds were deafening.
We're right up against the mountain, and it was just echoing off the mountain, 1,000+ frogs.
Now, he thinks that number is closer to 800, though getting an exact estimate is tricky. At the start, the group captured frauds one by one, but recently they've been able to haul tanks of citrate solution and hoses up the mountainside. The roar of the pump competes with the croaking of the frauds.
Crank them, Jamie.
Crank it.
Citric acid kills frauds on contact. Unlike caffeine and hydrated lime, both of which have been used in the past, citric acid denatures rapidly in the environment. Volunteers drench everything in sight.
Oh, they're blasting through the citric, bro. You can see the citric in the air.
Cheng says he doesn't like killing frogs, but koki are voracious eaters, and he worries about them chomping through Hawaii's native insect species.
Anything that can fit in their mouth, they'll eat. In Puerto Rico, they've documented them eating small birds, baby birds.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's pictures of it too.
The koki are formidable, but Cheng thinks it's possible to turn the tide and return the quiet to Waimanalo. Soon, he says DLNR will be able to send a small team to this area every night. Until then, Cheng and his volunteer crew will be holding the line. Reporting from Waimanalo, Savannah Harriman-Poe, HBR News.
Hawaii's legislative session lasts for 60 days, but there are no requirements for state lawmakers to be present. HBR's Ashley Mizuo reports on the legislative attendance policy at the state capitol.
Lawmakers need to notify leadership in the House and Senate if they will not be present for the day during the legislative session. But there are no standards for how many days can be missed or what is an acceptable absence.
It's really up to the individual lawmakers. Ultimately, their bosses are the electorate.
That's political analyst Colin Moore.
The legislature is a unique place to work because it's not like there's an HR department. If you can explain it to your voters, then you're not going to lose your job for not showing up to work.
Representative Ellie Cochran represents Lahaina in Maui. She was absent 51 out of the 60 days of the legislature. In a written statement to HPR, she says she felt she was needed more in her district to help Lahaina fire survivors and deal with on-the-ground problems than to be at the Capitol. Because she represents a district on Maui, she receives $225 a day to cover travel and living expenses on Oahu. Each neighbor island lawmaker gets that per diem, roughly $15,000 for the legislative session, regardless of their attendance record. Senate President Ron Kochi says lawmakers often tell them they will be absent because of events in their district.
So I'm aware that they are on legitimate Senate business and missing, but right now you get your per diem whether you show up or not. And we have not changed anything. So if you're absent, you're still going to get the per diem check. What we need to look at is what would that policy be and how should we implement / enforce it.
Cochran isn't the only lawmaker who felt her time is better spent outside of the day-to-day legislative process. Senator Brenton Awa received backlash on social media for missing conference committee. It's one of the final stages of the legislative process where a small committee of senators and representatives come together to negotiate a final version of a bill.
Excuse me, have you seen Brenton?
No, haven't seen him in a while.
Have you seen Brenton?
Come to think of it, no, I haven't seen him in a while.
That was from an Instagram video where the anonymous recorder is asking other senators if they've seen Awa during conference. Awa was at the Merry Monarch Festival, but says he purposely doesn't participate in conference committee. He also missed it in 2024.
This thing is a waste of our time. I'm not going to go to any. And beyond that, the people don't have a voice. And that is the number one reason why I don't go, is because there is no testimony. And we as senators don't get to speak to represent our people. You show up and you rubber stamp yes or no.
Unlike lawmakers, the governor and lieutenant governor earn 21 days of vacation and 21 days of sick leave, the same rate as other state employees. Moore says lawmakers' attendance records are not necessarily the best indicator of if they are good at their jobs because not every vote is crucial and being a lawmaker is often more than just taking votes.
If the constituents are satisfied that their representative is still doing his or her job, even though they don't show up all the time, that's just democracy.
House Speaker Nadine Nakamura wrote in an email that leadership is working on a policy regarding absences that will take effect next year. Ashley Mizuo, HPR News.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement has been transferring detained immigrants from the continental United States to the Honolulu Federal Detention Center since the summer. In a story co-produced by HPR's Maddie Bender, HPR's Ashley Mizuo reports on who has been impacted and why local immigration attorneys are worried about people falling through the cracks.
it's not exactly clear to us or to anyone really as to the rhyme or reason why someone from California or Florida would be transferred here, particularly when they have no connection here.
That's ACLU Hawaii immigration rights attorney Leilani Stacy. She's talking about immigration and customs enforcement officials transferring immigrants from the continental U.S. to the Honolulu Federal Detention Center. Nirabel Chardon, a senior staff attorney with the Hawaii nonprofit The Legal Clinic, recently represented a 23-year-old client. He was balanced between Florida, Louisiana, California, and Hawaii, all within a month. His mother had a hard time reaching him, and he lost his legal representation when he was transferred to the Honolulu FDC.
The mom was able to get some help from a legal worker in California, but because their funds are only for California residents, they can no longer represent or help this person.
That separation from resources and support, Hawaii's geographic isolation, and lack of Spanish-speaking attorneys are some of Stacy's main concerns about the transfers.
So in some ways, the transfer here to FDC Honolulu is just part of that larger game that's being played. And I shouldn't call it a game. These are people's lives. When you send people across an ocean who might not speak English as their first language, who know no one on the ground, no family to come visit them and tell them, oh, these are the local attorneys or anything like that, it's a really big concern.
That's what happened to Joaquin Rico. Rico is Venezuelan. He entered the U.S. unlawfully 3.5 years ago and went to California. There, he worked in construction, owned a car, and sent money back to his sick father. Then, in July, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers detained him and brought him to San Francisco. 3 days later, he was transferred to the Honolulu Federal Detention Center. Rico's primary language is Spanish. He has never been in prison before, but was placed in the general population of incarcerated people, among those awaiting charges for federal crimes, including murder.
Habían matado personas que habían hecho cualquier cantidad de crímenes. Estaban con nosotros en el mismo patio.
Rico says no one told him why he had been transferred to Hawaii. The only thing that makes sense to him is that it was a tactic to tire him out and make him want to self-deport.
Detenido en California porque me fui a trasladar a Hawaii. Lo único que explico que me es como para cansarnos y hacernos.
Rico was held in the Honolulu Federal Detention Center for nearly 3 months. He estimates that there were 100 other people detained there on immigration-related matters and about 10 or 15 people like him who were separated from their communities in California and transferred to Hawaii. Leilani Stacy of ACLU Hawaii says this practice began around June.
They were working, you know, Amazon jobs, other kinds of jobs just on the continent in various states, and then at some point were transferred here.
When Rico was released from the Honolulu Federal Detention Center, his phone had died, and he was in an unfamiliar place with no support system. Although Rico was released on bond, that isn't the outcome for many others detained by ICE in the Honolulu Federal Detention Center. The Refugee and Immigration Law Clinic at the University of Hawaii at Manoa Law School estimates that between 40 and 80 immigrants are currently being detained there. Chardon is one of the few immigration attorneys in the state who speaks Spanish. Up to 90% of the center's immigration clients are Hispanic. She says these detentions are an escalation beyond anything she's seen before.
From 2019 to 2023, when I was in private practice, I only represented 2 people in detention. Now the Federal Detention Center is my second home.
ICE has said it's working with federal detention facilities across the country to increase its capacity to hold detainees. In the past, the Honolulu Federal Detention Center has been considered underused, barely filling a quarter of its capacity to hold those who are charged with federal crimes. But this year, it became one of 8 facilities in the country managed by the Federal Bureau of Prisons that accepts those detained by ICE. A Bureau of Prisons spokesperson wrote in an email that they do not comment on the status of individuals or estimate the number of detainees in their facilities. ICE did not respond to HPR's requests for information. Chardon worries that some immigrants transferred to the Honolulu FDC could be falling into a black hole. Their families don't know where they are, they can't communicate with the outside world, and they don't have legal representation. She sees her work as vital.
If not me, then who? We are the only ones, right? Us in the nonprofit world. So, you know, that will drive you. That will motivate you and that will give you strength. State lawmakers do not have authority over the federal facility, and while the federal government was shut down, members of Congress were not allowed to visit. But Congresswoman Jill Tokuda says she now plans to visit the facility for a third time and will check on the status of whether the facility has started separating those detained by ICE from the general population. Ashley Mizuo, HPR News.
Disney's trailer for the live-action Moana movie is out, but the actress's hair has sparked debate about the representation of Pacific Islander hair in film. HBR's Cassie Ordonio reports.
But you took her curls away, and I just don't understand why.
The live-action Moana premieres in theaters next year, and people have taken to social media to comment on Catherine Lagaia's hair, how it went from naturally curly to straight in the movie trailer. When Representative Janae Capello watched the trailer with her daughter, she was also disappointed to see Moana's hair.
As someone who has curly hair and knows how hard it is to be vulnerable and wear your hair natural when there is so much straight hair bias in this world, we all knew what Moana's hair should have looked like at Disney's version of it. It's not Pacific Islander hair.
Capella is native Hawaiian from Kau'u on the Big Island. She has tight ringlet curls that she's grown to admire over the years. But that hasn't always been the case. When Capella entered beauty pageants at 17, a director told her that she needed to fit into a so-called Barbie box.
That moment really shaped how I wore my hair for many, many years. And still to this day, I have moments where I will reach for the straightener or the curling iron when I feel insecure.
But Capella has now taken ownership of her hair. She wore her hair straight during her first year in the legislature, but now she rocks her natural hair, calling it decolonial curls. There are various hair textures across the Pacific Islands: straight, wavy, curly, and coily. Some Hollywood films have showcased curly hair, but it's usually for comedic relief. Moses Goods is a native Hawaiian and Black actor. He plays an elder in the live-action Moana. He says he felt hurt when he saw Moana's hair in the trailer.
Dwayne Johnson's character has hair that is much fuller, but he's also sort of the comic relief in the show. And so what is that saying? You know, that the lead has to have what is considered beautiful by some, which is straight hair, and then the comic relief has the other type of hair, which makes that the silly type of hair, the hair that is not desirable.
HPR reached out to a cultural consultant of the movie. She declined to comment because of the non-disclosure agreement. However, in a social media post, she says the reason why Moana's hair was straightened is because curly hair distorts the background in computer-generated imagery, or CGI. Native Hawaiian hairstylist Ralph Malani agrees.
So with things like CGI, because this is a live-action film and there is a lot of action, and the majority of her part is supposed to be on the water, on a boat. So it's easier for CGI and all of that to be done on hair that isn't so voluminous and so textured.
Malani has worked on nearly 40 films, including the live-action Lilo and Stitch. He says Hollywood operates on a budget because CGI is expensive.
With very curly textured hair, which is beautiful, it's not the best hair for that kind of stuff. It flies around, it gets in your face. These actors wear a lot of makeup. Hair sticks to makeup.
But Good says that's a poor excuse and that technology has come a long way.
We're getting there, but we have a long way to go.
Cassie Ordonio, HPR News.